I'm broken hungry, ragged and dirty too. I said I'm broken hungry, ragged and dirty too. Mama, if I clean up camp, I go home with you. I'm motherless, fatherless, sister and brotherless too. I said, motherless, fatherless, sister and brotherless too. Reason I tried so hard to make this trip with you.
I understood about half of what he said right there.
You miss me, woman. Happy days I'm gone.
And he's broken hungry, I got that much.
You miss me, woman. Happy days I'm gone.
Happy days are gone, I understand.
I'm gonna wait to build me a railroad of my own.
I think he threatened to whip her. I'm not sure.
I think he's just going
to...
Lemon. Blind Lemon Jefferson, everybody. You wonder why he sang the blues. His mom named him Lemon. Can you imagine that? It's bad enough when you get a car that's a lemon. She got a child, apparently, that was a lemon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't send that back. Well, you can try, but it's a painful process.
Tell me more.
Well, you got to shove the kid back into the vagina.
I see.
You asked, Vince.
I did.
Yeah. Don't name your kid Lemon, everyone.
And don't shove him back into your vagina. These are both bad ideas.
What a Brian and Vinny show we have for you today on August 24th, 2010. It's going to be great. Actually, I can't promise anything. We got SmackDown, we got Raw. All I know is I got at least one really great song to play. I usually don't play the songs in advance. I like to surprise myself.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I got a couple of songs today and just had a hankering to listen to them in advance. And there were a couple that were really great. And then there were a couple where a couple of folks tried to put one over on me. Their songs were immediately deleted.
Those bastards.
Yeah. Don't try that. I'm now going to be monitoring songs for the foreseeable future. So don't waste your time. You're welcome to waste your time if you want to, but I'm not going to play your song on the air. I'm going to screen it in advance. So if you'd like to waste your time and just have your song immediately deleted, make my day. But I'm going to be monitoring. Now, if you make an attempt to do a great song, I'll play it here on the show, even if it's not so great. So anyway, there you go. We're going to do, as noted, Raw and SmackDown. And we've got a bunch of shout-outs here today since this is a free show. We've got shout-outs up the ass today for some reason. I don't even know why. Well, besides a lot of people signing up. And why would you not sign up? Because a couple of days ago, we interviewed Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
He's awesome. You haven't heard the interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin?
I have not yet.
Of all the shows to listen to in the history of the website, that should be at the top of your list.
He's a big star, yes.
He's
a lot to say.
Giant redneck.
He's a bionic redneck, yes.
You need to go listen to this show, Vince. I know you've listened to other shows, and to think that you've listened to any other show on this site, but you did not listen to Steve Austin, I find that shocking, in fact.
I have no defense.
All right. How was Tulalip? What was Caden's great idea?
Well, for those of you who don't know, we had a show in Tulalip last weekend. Brian did not go because he's banned for 90 days. A few weeks before this show, Caden double-checked to make sure he was going to be there. He said, I have an idea. And I sent him a text saying, what is this idea? And he replied something like, connection versus protection and Vinny. I had no idea what this meant. I didn't ask. So we got to the show, and it turns out Caden's big idea was to do a tag team match.
Wow.
Yes. Chris Rysick apparently... He reunited with his old tag team partner, Johnny Obsession, who I was not aware he had been a tag team partner with, but that's what they told me. So they were reuniting, and the plan was to do those two against myself and the ideal protection, Hoss Tull.
Who had been our enemy.
Who had been our enemy. Well, even your enemy. But he and I had made friends because I bought him donuts
that's
at one
right.
time.
That's right.
This, this all happened in story.
Two fat men that shared donuts.
So I went to, since we were teaming again, I stopped by the grocery store to buy donuts, and their donut selection was pretty slim. So I had a much better idea. I bought a small bag of regular chocolate chip cookies, and then I bought one of those like 1 foot diameter chocolate chip cookies that had frosting and they'd written "Have a nice day" on it. So my plan was I would offer Hostel the cookies, he would say no, because I would say last time I got you donuts and we lost, so this time I got you cookies, and he would turn down the regular cookies, and so I had to break out the big gun, the giant cookie, and then he would say yes. So that was our plan.
See, you know what you should have done, Vinny. Mm-hmm. You should have offered him the cookies this time, and he accepted the cookies. And then you guys would go on to lose again. So the next time, he turned down donuts and cookies, and then you bust out the giant cookie. And he can't turn that down.
You got a point. But it turns out it doesn't matter anyway, because we find out what we're doing. We start putting this match together, and it's like the third match of the show, and somebody looks around and says, "Has anyone actually seen Haas?"
Oh, no.
Yeah, Haas no-showed. No phone call? We don't know.
Huh.
To not make the Tulalip Championship Wrestling show. So
that's not like Haas.
No. But we first thought about doing a handicap match, just doing the slowest, worst handicap match of all time since I am fat and out of shape. Thankfully, Azul Angel stepped in. He filled in as the tag team partner. We did the cookie gimmick anyway just because I had him there. Figure might as well use him. Had a tag match. It was pretty fun. Azul saved the day. And, he didn't save the day too much. We did lose when I was pinned. Aside from...
I did text you and say, "What's the update?" And you said, "I lost."
I lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shocking.
Yes. So then we decided we were going... I was going to share the cookies with the fans when, unbeknownst to me, I was legitimately sneak attacked by Johnny Obsession and Christopher Ryzik. They jumped us both, they attacked us with the cookies, and then we fought them off, and we forced them to eat cookies. Because, you see, they are in shape, and they have abs, and they tell the fans how fat they are.
I see.
So the steps to this were, they agreed to these steps. If they lost, they would have had to eat the entire bag of cookies before the crowd.
Hmm.
So they attacked us, we made them eat the cookies, and then we...
Has Johnny Obsession been there as he returned after like a year hiatus? Had you ever seen him before?
I believe it was the first time I'd ever seen or met him.
Okay, because I don't remember Johnny Obsession.
He's a Canadian fellow.
Hmm. Oh, that explains
and
it.
He's back. And no, the match went pretty well.
Your career continues, in other words.
Things are going fine, yes.
Wow. So I talked you back into the ring, and then I left.
Yes.
You there.
And I have to say, the crowd, by the way...
Didn't care.
No, the crowd was totally into it. And most importantly, appeared to be about the same size as it was last month.
Oh.
You
Shoot.
Cost the promotion exactly zero fans.
God damn it. Well, that's not good. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm not coming back. I did hear Ryzik tried to bury me on the mic.
Oh, he just pointed out that he beat you.
Well,
he drove you out of TCW.
That's
in
all
shame.
True. That, well, I don't know about shame, but...
he shamed you.
I felt a sense of pride to be leaving, to be honest with you. Oh, Caden. So anyway, that's the Tulalip Championship Wrestling update, and...
It was... A typical Caden Matthews show in that there were four girls in each match.
There was a robbery?
There was no robbery. That was an atypical Caden Matthews event. But it was typical in that there were things... It was typical in that nobody knew what was going on. For example, there were four girls who were in a match, and their match was next, and none of them knew for sure whether it was supposed to be a four-way or a tag.
Hmm.
And then we were told we were going on after an intermission, and then as another match was going on, we were told we were up next.
Hmm.
So, the usual fun and games.
Well, what the hell can you do? What the hell can you do? All right, let's get going on Raw here. And then we'll play one of these songs I've been waiting to play for a long time. But I gotta get SmackDown out of the system first, so go ahead.
SmackDown was... The first hour of this show largely sucked. Thankfully, it turned around, and by the end, everything was going great. So, Ray came out to cut a shitty scripted promo... And as usual, I wrote that before he even started. He thanked the fans for their help at SummerSlam, and then said he had gotten a beating, but at least he didn't end up in a casket. That's where the bar has been set now. If he does not die, it is a victory. He said Kane had been trying to mask his own guilt, and then announced, "My name has been cleared." Did anyone actually believe he was guilty? Were there journalists pressing him for answers?
Well, Kane.
He's literally the only one. So he was talking when Houston interrupted, but Alberto Del Rio. He came out, stood right next to a sign reading, "Who are you?" I like that. He claimed he was a national hero in Mexico. Claimed he came from a great bloodline, which, again, if you're going to say that, why would you lose your mask and change your name? But that's why they do things. He said he was from the blood of kings, whereas Ray's blood came from the horrible streets of Tijuana. He called Ray the worm in his tequila and a joke of a man. Ray said that he was a sharp-dressed man with nice cufflinks that he saw at a swap meet somewhere. Said Alberto was a nobody. He'd seen his type a million times. You think people have to respect you because of your money? Alberto said he would make Ray respect him, so Ray challenged him to a match. Alberto accepted and winked at him, and so Ray kicked his ass. So Alberto was actually really good here.
Well, let me tell you why Alberto doesn't have the mask on. Because regardless of his heritage and that sort of thing, the best thing about Alberto Del Rio is his facial expressions. He's actually very good at the wry smile and the wacky, cheesy grin.
And the wink.
And the wink.
The wink was a great wink.
Yes. He's got a face that needs to be used.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that...
no one cares about Dos Caras in
Well, the key US. Was that no one in his family, in that bloodline, has ever lost their mask. So, by voluntarily removing his mask, he was never beaten for it.
I see.
Yeah. Hmm. Psychology there.
Cody Rhodes told us to moisturize. Then we had Kofi Kingston versus fucking Dolph Ziggler.
I disagree with this moisturizing thing, by the way. Clear skin comes from the inside out.
Fascinating.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, tell us.
Well.
So if you're a happy person, you won't get acne?
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if you eat a lot of fried food, that oil is going to come out your pores and you're going to have disgusting skin.
And it's also bad for you, yes.
Whereas if you ingest a lot of healthy fats and good oils and fruits and vegetables, you'll have shiny, fresh skin. If you smoke all fucking day and you eat shit and then you put some moisturizer on your face, you're still going to look like a skeleton. It's just the facts of life. You know?
No, you make some points.
This is true. For everyone out there listening, fuck dashing Cody Rhodes. I'll tell you how to look youthful. Okay, go on.
So, Kofi Kingston versus fucking Dolph Ziggler.
Fucking Dolph Ziggler?
Versus fucking Dolph Ziggler. That's what it reads in my notes, because I was so pissed off about this match. This is the fourth time in 5 weeks these two men have wrestled on SmackDown. They also had a pay-per-view match in there somewhere. I spent more time looking that up than I did actually watching the match, because I just didn't care anymore. I was more fascinated by what Matt Stryker had to say. Matt Stryker had a rant. Everyone is saying, he said, why did you root so hard for John Cena? Why did you root so hard for Daniel Bryan? I was rooting so hard for WWE. WWE puts food on our table. They were there for us when no one else was there. So to all the message board pundits who sit behind their computers in their sweatpants, who have never walked our halls before, go away and leave the big stuff to the pros.
Oh, so it was never stepped foot in the ring. Now it's never walked our halls.
Yes.
Unfortunately for Stryker, I have walked their halls.
I just want to know...
He's pissed off because people second guessed to finish at SummerSlam.
I just want to know when they were there for him when nobody else was.
I'm just wondering why, you know, the line about how I've got to put food on my family's table. I'm sick of that line. This is not the 1930s. You know how fucking cheap food is nowadays?
There are a lot of very, very poor people in America who eat just fine.
I was... The song I almost played here was... What was the name of the song? It was another Blind Lemon Jefferson song. But it was like... Broken Lonely or something like that. That was the one I just played. Bad Luck Blues... I can't remember, but one of them was about him not being able to afford food.
Mm-hmm.
Who can not afford food nowadays?
In 2010, very, very few people.
Like, we've almost eradicated hunger on this planet.
Well,
I realize
in this nation.
Not every... Well, no! We're on our way to eradicating hunger on this planet. We're way closer now than we've ever been at any other point in human history.
That's probably true.
So I don't know. Can't you just say something like you know, I can't afford insurance for my family in case some illness befalls them? That at least, you know, that's a real issue with people nowadays. But, like, I'm not sure I can put food on the table.
Especially
I find that
him,
impossible to believe.
A guy who had a teaching job and gave it up to become a wrestler.
Yeah.
So no one else was there for you because you got fired.
Yeah.
So whatever. I don't know. Then Vicky interfered for the DQ.
Point was, this was a stupid rant in a lot of ways.
Yes, and it came during a stupid match. Vicky interfered for the DQ, which means they're going to wrestle again. So fuck SmackDown. So afterwards, Kofi, as usual, went crazy, beat up Dolph a lot. Then Vicky stepped in his way. First, she was scared, but then she realized Kofi couldn't hit her. So she was taunting him, and then Dolph hit Kofi from behind. We were told that Dolph had climbed under the ring. There had been no point to this, because Kofi was focused on Vicky, and at one point actually had his back to the ring anyway, so Dolph could have just done a lap and saved himself the trouble.
I'm not a fan of Dolph lately. Number one, I've mentioned it before, all these stupid bumps he takes, and he risks his own health, and he takes these bumps that are completely unnecessary. And number two, Dolph looks like the stiffest fucking guy on this roster. Now, you know, maybe they just worked this really well, but when he hit Kofi from behind, he ran this guy over.
Wheelied a miss.
And Kofi, like, flew through the air, and I just sat there and I thought, you know, the whole point of this business is you protect your opponent. And it's one thing to run headlong into the guy when he's facing you, because he knows it's coming, and he can do what he can to protect himself. When the guy is facing the other way, and you've got to attack him from behind, that's when you should be at your absolute most careful. Because he can't see you coming. He doesn't know when you're going to hit him. It legitimately, like, I always, you know, they always do the thing about how every bump is like getting in a car wreck. Yeah, a car wreck going 5 miles an hour. You know what I mean? It's overstating the damage taking a simple bump. But when you're facing the wrong way and some fucking dude runs up and waylays you from behind and sends you flying, yeah, that's like fucking getting rear-ended by a fast car. So anyway, that pissed me off when I saw that. I'm in a mood today.
So backstage, we had a Lay Cool segment. They were tired of seeing Melina cry. They had a secret they were going to keep from Teddy. Then they left, but we learned that Hornswoggle was hiding in a plant and spying on them. He snuck away, and we never saw any of this again.
I want to go back to something here. I need to clarify something here, because I don't want people on the board writing in and saying, Brian, how dare you talk about people that have no money? Obviously, this website is doing well, blah, blah, blah. I just want to say this. Listen, there was a time when I had no money. I'm talking, I had no money. I had to budget for every single thing. Like, I can remember, like, to this day, when we get new towels in this house, I have a hard time using the new towels. Because to me, for a long time, towels were like a luxury. You know what I mean? Like, having to go to Target to buy new towels, that was like, you know, that was some money that I had to spend to get towels. And so to this day, it's like, there's new towels here, and I feel they should be decorative. I don't even want, why can't I just use my old towels? I still have these feelings. Like, when I'm running low on vitamins, to this day, I still get kind of like, oh, fuck, where am I going to come up with the money to go get a new thing of vitamins? You know, I have the money to get the vitamins now, but for a long time I didn't. Point was, no matter how little money I had in my life, and there were periods that I didn't have very much money at all, I never had trouble putting food on the table. You know what I mean? You go to McDonald's, you can get like a double quarter pounder for 99 cents. That's like, you know, 1,000 calories. An average person eats 2,000 calories a day. Like, if you really had to, you could feed yourself on $2 a day. So, that's going back to the whole line about putting food on the table. Like, you use an analogy that your average person nowadays can really, you know, can really understand. You know, whether you know, there are certain things that, you know, an average person may have a hard time affording. And food on the table is not one of them. I don't even know why I got so mad about that. I guess it was something to pick on Matt Stryker about after he yelled at everybody on the internet. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess so. So really the only notable thing about this Lay Cool segment was the state of Hornswoggle's beard.
He's back.
I'm quite certain his beard weighs more than himself at this point.
Yeah.
And he laughed and snuck away, and they cut to the announcers, who were clearly just mortified and appalled and ashamed to be part of this segment in any way.
I was just glad that he was not behind that tree pleasuring himself.
Well, we don't know.
The tree was shaking.
The tree was shaking. We only saw his face and part of his hands.
And he giggled.
He was giggling.
Yeah. How disgusting.
He was spying on Lay Cool.
Yeah.
So backstage, then the next backstage segment, we had the Straight Edge Society bebopping around. Luke was not ready to forgive CM Punk for walking out of them last week. Joey said they would never walk out on him. Serena stuck up for him, said he was teaching them a lesson. Said tonight she and Luke would beat Big Show and Kelly Kelly. They were worried because it was her first match, but she said she would prove that she deserved Punk's admiration. Punk then walked in, said none of them deserved anything. He said he was stealing Nexus's idea, and if they lost this match, they were going to be out of the Straight Edge Society. So apparently, if they lost, they would have to start drinking and smoking.
Well, they did. Well,
as it turns out,
I should just move on.
As it turns out, they won and she still was out. So it sucks to be her. So yes, we got the match: Serena and Luke Gallows versus Kelly Kelly and Big Show.
Now, I cannot even believe this match occurred.
This match occurred, and at this point, this show was 48 minutes old. We had seen one match, and it was Kofi versus Dolph.
Yeah.
This show, I was hating at this point. So it was pretty much all the girls. Serena looked okay. Kelly Kelly looked horrible, and then Serena got turfed.
Yeah.
Life is not fair. So she won with a gut buster. They celebrated her win. Punk came out. He applauded, looked sincerely impressed. I suppose we'll learn come Thursday that they taped that show. But eventually we will learn he was not impressed. So sucks to be her. We then went to commercial. When we came back, we joined the World Heavyweight Champion, who was standing in the ring without an entrance. It was Kane, cutting his usual wacky promo with the voice distortion effects and the spooky music and the lights and all that stupid stuff. He said pride was his favorite sin.
Oh no, Vinny. We are not recapping this fucking promo. This was 12 minutes of bullshit.
I will just... Okay. He mentioned Taker's decade of destruction, which is now nearly 2 decades of destruction. He admitted that he had put Taker in the vegetative state. He recapped their feud going all the way back to 1997, which means this feud is officially 2 years older than SmackDown itself.
Yeah.
The storyline is now that Taker cost Kane his mask, so they're just changing things on the fly. Things, by the way, that happened before our eyes. There was one guy shouting boring. He said, while Taker was disgraced, Kane was biding his time. With every win, Taker got more and more proud.
Let's
and that
just
made him
cut
weaker.
To the chase. Was this any good? Because there are split reports on this. I thought this sucked.
Here is exactly how I ended my recap. There may not be a man on the planet who could have done Kane's job any better here. It still fucking sucked. The segment was a loss. Kane's performance is pretty damn phenomenal.
Kane did fine with the material.
Yes.
But
the material was so awful.
Doing fine with this material is hardly high praise, okay? That doesn't mean this segment was any good at all. It just means if Rey Mysterio would have tried to do it, it would have really sucked.
Or Jack Swagger or John Morrison. These are all terrible ideas.
Jack Swagger might have made it funny. But John Morrison, no. Rey Mysterio, no. It just
anyone else in the show.
It was recapping such stupidity and so full of shit.
It was, yes.
And apparently this was gravely edited. Because it was even worse live.
Hmm.
If you like this, I'm happy that you can enjoy this kind of thing in 2010. More power to people like you. I thought it sucked.
Speaking of sucking, we had Christian versus Drew. Cody Rhodes came out to do commentary. He was so goddamn boring that Todd Grisham compared him to an oldies DJ. Seriously.
That's boring?
It struck me. He was boring me, and that's the comparison Todd made. Hmm. So Christian took a phenomenally stupid bump under an exposed guardrail. He then took a very high hammerlock slam right next to the ropes away from the center of the ring. And then he hauled off and kicked Drew in the face, and I screamed. And then watched the replay, and I realized he's just really awesome. So then he...
I always love that when something looks great and they show a replay and it doesn't look so great.
Yes. Well, yeah.
We're going to talk about this on Thursday, but we watched more of the top 10 matches in WWE history.
Or in LA history.
LA history, I'm sorry. And, Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr against Octagon and Santo, for example. And Randy Savage versus Jake Roberts from like 1986. These fucking matches blew away everything on SmackDown nowadays.
Oh, hell yeah.
But anyway, there was one match which I was astounded was even on there. It was Chavo Guerrero against Rey Mysterio in an I Quit match from SmackDown. This was ranked higher than Octagon and Santo against Eddie Guerrero and Art Barr, by the way.
Right.
Anyway, so this match was boring, and there's a spot where Ray does the flying ass bump off the stage on a Chavo on the ground, and they've got this camera angle that looks pretty impressive, and they scream, "My God, he dove on him from 12 feet up!" And, of course, they show another replay, and it looks pretty impressive. And then they decide to find the third replay they have, which is at ground level, and it shows Chavo's head about 3 inches lower than the stage itself, which means the dive was either from 6 feet or Chavo is 11 feet 6 inches tall. Now, of the two, I would presume that he's not 11 feet 6 inches tall, so they ruined their own fucking dive because they had to show so many replays. Anyway.
So Christian eventually won this match with a crucifix. And Cody and Drew double-teamed him. Who should run out to make the save but Matt Hardy? But then he was double-teamed, and they destroyed his foot with a chair. What a shitty rescue.
Surprising.
I know, hard to believe.
Matt Hardy failed, everyone.
I know, yes. Jack Swagger was bitching backstage. He mentioned that he had gone from being the world champion to not even being on SummerSlam. Indeed, this is true. And you know, tonight, before we watched this 24/7 stuff, we were watching... Every time I come over here, it's on E, the E network. And the
Don't look at me.
I'm just saying, the program that was about to begin was the 25 hottest voluptuous vixens. now in hindsight, I'm very happy we watched 24/7.
Yeah.
But going into it, not only I, but also your lovely wife would rather have watched the 25 voluptuous vixens episode. I bring this up because Rosa Mendez was here jumping, and she was in fact a voluptuous vixen. And it was grand.
That was a great story, bro.
Thank you. MVP appeared. He said he was tired of Jack's crying. Jack challenged him to a shootout. Don't know what that is. Said that if he won, he would get to host the VIP lounge. If MVP won, then Jack Swagger had to pay for his party. And then we never saw either of them again.
Maybe they're going to shoot hoops.
I guess. Maybe they go to the archery range. Teddy Long told Kane the Undertaker was going to be there next week. Kane was fine with this. They then aired a commercial for the 900th episode of Raw. One of the clips in this commercial was Kane losing his mask. Mm-hmm. So in case you had seen it and forgotten, now they reminded you that in fact it was not the Undertaker who stole Kane's mask.
Yeah.
I got inappropriately angry at that. So, we had the main event of Rey Mysterio versus Alberto. Alberto got a fantastic entrance.
Yes.
He has his own personal ring announcer, who introduces him in Spanish. He drives a Rolls Royce into the arena. They play cool music. He has Razor Ramon's pyro. It's great stuff. They had the match. They claimed Alberto won a gold medal in 99 Pan Am Games. Is that true?
He was a good Greco-Roman wrestler. I don't know if he won the gold medal or not.
Try to look this up. It turns out results from the Pan Am Games are hard to find. Stryker also got in a line about Alberto having two faces. That was clever. So he worked the arm for the entire match. It was pretty fun. And then out of nowhere, he hit a flying armbar on Mysterio, and Rey tapped out.
Yes.
Wow.
Finish was awesome.
Yeah, it looked great. It was...
Match itself. Alberto Del Rio has got real good facials. He's not terribly charismatic, but he's got some charisma. He cannot sell to save his life. His selling in this match was horrendous. His offense was all right. The luch he did with Rey was obviously great. So, mixed bag here on Alberto. But it's really not a big deal if a guy can't sell, you know?
There are
far worse things. He's no Jake Roberts or Randy Savage.
That is true.
But few are nowadays.
But we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how after all the weeks and weeks and weeks of promos hyping his appearance, how you better deliver. The payoff here with the entrance and the match and his clean win, and then he was an even bigger dick by going after the arm again.
They did make a star in one night.
This delivered.
Yeah.
This delivered. I don't know if he delivered, but it delivered.
Follow-up is going to be very important, but they did make a star here in one night. Yes. So. We'll see where they go from there, but fine SmackDown, I thought. I liked it better than you did, and I have been not been a proponent of SmackDown lately for a...
I was fine with the second half of that show. It was the first half that I hated.
Let's play a song here. This song is by a free thinker, that's all I'll say. That's actually part of his name here. But this is called Bad Dreams, Bad Bumps by Free Thinker.
I actually had a dream the other night. I guess you could call it a nightmare. We were watching Impact, and there was a lot of friends and my family over. And at one point, the show became so awful that I snapped. And as a result of this, I was shunned by both my business partner and my family. That was the end of the dream.
What a great dream, Vinny.
Yes, this is what I see when I sleep.
Wow, you're fucked up. Wow.
What?
You missed, yeah. No? Okay, this guy... done by 40 at the absolute latest if he doesn't stop being such an idiot. So he's either going to get smartened up soon or he's in big trouble because he takes the stupidest bumps. It's one thing if you take a stupid bump every once in a while. When you take them all the damn time, I don't care how good you feel right now. I don't care how quickly your body recovers from this. This shit takes its toll. Very creative song right there. Very creative song. Fine job, Free Thinker. Bad dreams, bad bumps. He turned my laugh into the opening...
That was, yes, the opening guitar riff.
Yeah.
He turned your laugh into Jimi Hendrix's guitar.
Awesome. All right, let's do Raw here. Begin!
Raw opened with Sheamus coming down to the ring. He was fantastic. He said American children were spoiled and whiners. He went out and picked on some of them in particular. He called a young girl fella. He talked about how spoiled and fat they all were, how they all got everything they want without having to work for it. Got back to the ring, said Randy was the biggest spoiled brat of them all after the way he attacked him at SummerSlam and on Raw. And the fans approved it when they chanted RKO. He said Night of Champions was coming up. Said Randy should not be rewarded. He should be punished and put in prison. He should never get another shot at my title.
Prison.
Prison, he said. Yes. So we got an email. The general manager felt that Sheamus should be rewarded. They had a throne brought out on stage. He said Sheamus was going to watch Raw, and then he was going to pick his own opponent for Night of Champions. And Sheamus' reaction to this was even better. He was not thrilled. He was not elated. He was not surprised. He was actually annoyed that it took this long. Finally, he said, some justice for me.
Yeah.
Sheamus was the goddamn man here.
Sheamus is my favorite wrestler.
He was great.
I'm actually not sure if that was a girl that he called fella or just a boy that needed a haircut. But
I'm leaning towards girl.
I know that when he called this person fella, the little fella pointed right at him and said, "You suck!" Kids are awesome.
How could you not love this?
I also all loved when he was walking around ringside and yelling at the people, and there were just random men in the background that would every now and then just go, "Fella!" He's got to get a fella shirt.
This is quality television.
If Granny can sell like 60 shirts that say Granny's Gang on them, then Sheamus can sell a million shirts that say fella.
Just a picture of his own face screaming and then fella.
Not even that. Just a black shirt with fella in white. And sell a million of them. I went to the grocery store the other day in my Granny's Gang shirt. And this is going to sound terrible, but I hate when people talk to me in public when I'm doing stuff. You know what I mean?
I feel that way all the time.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, if I don't know. Like, usually when I'm out in public, I've got to get shit done. Like, I've got to get my groceries and then get back to do a show. Or like, I was at the gym today and I was going through a circuit that was timed. And so, of course, someone had to stop to me. They had to stop me and ask me if I was in shoot box in the middle of my circuit and stop me for like 5 minutes to talk about shoot box. Why did they think I was in shoot box? Because I had a pair of shoot box shorts on. That all of a sudden means you must be in shoot box? I couldn't have just had a pair that I got somewhere?
I guess they don't sell those.
Anyway, the point is...
like a belt.
I'm trying to just pay for my stuff and get back home because I did have a show and I'm in kind of a hurry. And, of course, the guy looks at my shirt and goes, "You can't leave till you tell me what that means." I said, what? He goes, your shirt, Granny's Gang. I must know what this means. And, I mean, think of how long it would take for me to really explain this.
So, I'll just say, I have a grandmother. She has a gang.
That he would not have let me leave. Hmm. I just say, I don't know. My granny got me this as a present. Hmm. I'll ask her what it means. And he goes, well, next time you come back here, you better have an answer for me.
So that store's off the list now.
Where the fuck am I shopping at here? Anyway, I don't know what the point of that was. Oh, if you got a fella shirt, people would be stopping you right and left asking you what the hell that meant.
When you go to Safeway now, at least in this area...
That was where I was!
Oh, there you go.
The Safeway right there at the bottom of the hill.
When you go to Safeway, they now, as you pay with a card, they print out the receipt, and they check the receipt, and they say, thank you, Mr. Insert your name here.
Yeah.
I have a funny last name. No one knows how to say it. So now... Whenever I go to Safeway, I can expect a five-second delay at the end where they stare at the receipt and don't know what to do. Which would be fine once, but it's now happened several dozen times. And I usually find myself just reaching over and pulling the receipt out of their hands. You can say, sir, or even just mister. Thank you, mister. I'll say thank you, and I'll leave. You don't need to be friends with me.
Thank you, fella.
Thank you, fella. That'll work.
Yeah. Or so. Guy. I love that one, too.
Thanks, guy.
Thanks, guy. There's a guy... I hate to digress again here, and I hope none of these people are subscribers, but to put food on my table, I go to the Qdoba up the street, and I...
Fine choice, actually.
Usually get, like, a naked burrito, and there's a guy that works there. I think he's, like, the manager or something, and he's, like, an older guy, and he's, like, he's one of those guys who's, he's older, and he's got, like, a full head of hair, and of course he dyes it.
Mm.
And he's kind of got a button-up shirt on, and like he's straight out of like a used car lot
at a Qdoba.
Yeah.
Maybe he's gonna haggle with you on the price of a burrito.
You know, you go up there and you get, because someone else makes the food for you, and then he's at the cash register.
I see.
And then you go up and he's like, "Hey, guy, what you got there?" I got a naked burrito with chicken. Okay, great! And he rings it up and, that'll be $7! And you give him your little thing and he goes, here you go there, guy! That's it. It's just fucking ridiculous. Like he should be in Vegas doing something. Anyway, this guy. And he's got a son that also works there. And his son is like the junior version of him. The same, hey, guy!
Learning under the master.
That's right. Hey, guy! Thanks a lot there, buddy! And then he hands you over the thing. He just like that.
Hmm.
Thanks a lot there, buddy. And just shoos you on your way. Like he's so transparent fake. Anyway, what a geek. Go ahead. Why are you even talking about wrestling? Talk more about grocery stores.
Well, we use wrestling to remind us of stories of people who annoy us in our day-to-day life.
All right, go on with Edge.
Edge wrestled Truth. The announcers were debating whether Sheamus would pick a weak or injured opponent here. Lawler said that's what he would do, was just pick whoever was worst on the show. Michael Cole then said the following words, I believe Sheamus will do the right thing. Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because Cole is turning heel.
Mm.
He was very heelish during this match. He does not like Truth saying what's up. He was very heelish about many things on this show. So he's siding with Sheamus.
There you go.
Of course Sheamus will do the right thing.
So they had a match. Truth's comeback was pretty clunky. Edge missed a spear. Truth missed an axe kick. And Edge speared him in one.
This was a Tulalip Championship Wrestling semi-main.
This is not the best either of these men had to offer. Edge cut a promo to Sheamus, said that until he beat a 9-time champion and the man who led Team WWE to victory in SummerSlam, he had not beaten anybody. We had clips of Cody Rhodes, who's going to be on a show on the Sci-Fi Channel. Very brief clips of their tour from China. We had a great shot. When he came back from commercial, Sheamus was just sitting in his throne on the stage, staring at his belt and just pondering his life.
Yeah.
I am the champion in a throne, and that is grand, is what he was thinking. It was tremendous. We had Great Khali versus Chris Jericho. So poor Jericho, this was taped the same week as last week's show, so that means he had to have that match with Wade Barrett and then come back later and wrestle the Great Khali.
Mm-hmm.
Bad times. This was bad. It was also long. Jericho worked the leg over and then actually managed to turn Khali over into the walls of Jericho, which looked like a legit struggle.
Yeah.
To get this massive immobile man into a Boston Crab. And then he actually tapped out. So Jericho won by submission.
And Khali beat him up afterwards, just
Carly hit a
for
chop
for absolutely no good reason. You know,
otherwise, you may take Jericho seriously.
We don't want that.
We had a John Cena promo. It was the most generic, cookie-cutter, useless John Cena promo of all time. He said Miz's actions were petty and classless. He had a bad attitude, but he's going to get an attitude adjustment. Ye fucking ha. He had Jillian versus Melina. I don't know. It was all right, I suppose. For the standards of women's
they
matches.
Tried way too much. They did do a couple of creative things involving the splits.
Cole did ask what was up with all the screaming, and then the announcers started to talk about tennis and golf. It's usually a bad sign. Melina won with her move. Then Lay Cole got a promo on her. I do not need to see these women on two shows a week. We were then told that Josh...
Three!
That's true.
Yeah.
God, that's true. This is the new thing that annoys me on Raw. We are told that Josh Matthews has a very special guest. And then the guest is someone we see every single goddamn week. Mm-hmm. In this case, it was The Miz. And this was 20 minutes or whatever after Cena's lame promo. Miz cut an awesome promo. He said that he did not cash in Money in the Bank at SummerSlam when Sheamus was laid out and vulnerable because he was worried about the team WWE. So the least Cena could have done was talk to him backstage, but instead he embarrassed him in front of the world. Said he was going to show Cena there were consequences for his actions. He said as far as Night of Champions went, he did not expect Sheamus to pick him, but that didn't matter because he can pick Sheamus anytime, anywhere he wanted. This was great stuff.
Yeah, it was.
Nexus came out to talk on the stage, but before they could say anything, the GM cut them off. He said that he requested Nexus come out so he could tell them he was impressed with their performance last week. He was the one. He then said that their ban on competing for titles has been lifted.
Their ban.
I had no idea this ban. I've completely forgotten this ban existed.
What happened was the GM a long time ago said that because of what Wade Barrett had done when they attacked all the Raw guys, that he would not get a title shot for the foreseeable future. And then later in the show, Michael Cole inexplicably changed that to 3 months, which meant someone was not on the same page.
And here they just lifted it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Wade informed...
Actually, I think Brett made that ruling anyway. Regardless. Doesn't matter.
So the ruling was made. Wade can now compete for a title shot, and Wade officially, formally announced, informed Sheamus that their truce was over. Nobody gave a shit. Hard to believe. We had the Miz-Cena match. When was the last time Miz defended the U.S. Championship?
Been a long-ass time.
It was a long-ass time. So they had a match. It was one of those matches where they're doing stuff and nobody really cares. It's not very good. And then 12 minutes later, the place is just going absolutely crazy. So that is a sign of a good match. And towards the finish, Miz decided he'd had enough, was about to bail. And as he made his way up the aisle, Daniel Bryan attacked. Threw him into the ring. This was a blatant DQ, but Cena didn't care. He just hit the FU and then left, leaving Miz to Daniel Bryan's mercy. And Bryan applied the Umaplata Clutch, which Michael Cole referred to as the LaBelle Lock. So apparently, this is a move.
Judo Gene taught him this move.
I believe that Judo Gene would have used this move. Michael Cole knew that. Is the amazing thing.
You continue. I'm going to go see if my Judo Gene Book of Submissions has the...
Umaplata Clutch?
What do you call it?
I call it the Umaplata Clutch. There may be a different name.
What did Cole call it?
The LaBelle Lock.
Oh, that's right. What am I talking about?
Yeah. So we got Vladimir Kozlov and Santino Marella against the Usos. We got the heat on Santino. He had to wrestle and not do comedy, so he was not very good. Then we got the Vladimir Kozlov babyface comeback. As long as he is just killing dudes, he's fine. He won with his big slam. So there you go. And as Lawler noted, he makes a perfect partner because all he has to do is stand in the apron and look scary and then kill dudes. And that's what he's best at. So the Usos teased attacking Santino afterwards, but Tamina stepped in and cut them off. And then she and Santino had a moment. And then she blew him a kiss using a blowgun.
I don't know where my LaBelle book is.
Oh, how sad.
That is sad.
We had our clip plugging Classics on Demand. It was the big event from, I believe, 1986 in Canada.
This was another example of...
making the current product look lame.
I was... Whitney and I were both sitting at the table, and I was watching Raw, and she was doing whatever. And she just looked up, and she went, oh, my God.
Yes.
Because there's like a million people there.
80 some thousand or whatever.
And it's true. You watch this episode of Raw, and then they show you a clip. And they basically were just talking about, this is how hot it was during the Rock and Wrestling Connection or whatever. And it's like, yeah, sure sucks now.
25 years later, it blows.
Fuck, what the hell happened?
Yes. I've never seen that show. It's made me want to. Which I guess is the point. We had a three-way, Ted DiBiase versus, I wrote Sheamus, but it was Morrison. DiBiase versus Morrison versus Randy Orton in a battle of the best abs in the company. We haven't mentioned this in the show yet. Morrison's beard is a huge improvement.
Yeah.
They basically did a handicap match with both guys working over Orton, and he fought them both off, pinned Morrison with the RKO, and then laid DiBiase out with one as well. So they are still, you know, he is still the guy here.
He should be. Well, I guess he's not challenging one-on-one for the title, but
he's the guy they want you to have faith in now. So there you go. Sheamus announced that he had made his decision. He would let us know who he picked in a few minutes. And a few minutes went by, and he made an announcement. The announcement was that he was going to defend the title right now. Said the only reason he became champion was opportunity. So he decided to go left field. Which I didn't know they had that in Ireland. He decided to make the new contender a man who had never had a championship match before, and he chose Zack Ryder. So Sheamus versus Zack Ryder. Sheamus pinned him in seconds. Sucks to be Zack. Sheamus then announced he was not required to defend the title again for 30 days, so he was taking Night of Champions off. He was, in fact, going to take the entire month off and go back to Ireland. At this point, Wade Barrett interrupted. He said he was promised a title shot for winning NXT. That means he got the title shot to the pay-per-view of his choice, and so he was doing it at Night of Champions. To which Sheamus replied, "No way, fella! I'm taking time off!" He is the best part of the show by leaps and bounds.
Love Sheamus.
Yes, yeah, so Cole got an email. The GM officially made it Sheamus versus Wade. He also added Chris Jericho, Randy Orton, Edge, and John Cena to the match. So then everyone got in the ring. They had a long stare down. And then suddenly Wade found himself surrounded. And everyone got their payback and beat the crap out of him. Then everyone took turns hitting a finisher on somebody else. And it ended with Randy RKOing Cena and standing triumphant amongst the bodies. So
great.
Again, Randy Orton is the man.
Let's see if we can predict the finish of the six-pack challenge. Randy hits the RKO on somebody. Sheamus throws Randy out of the ring, steals a pin.
Basically.
Done.
It could be Randy RKOing four man or so.
I was excited at the idea of Sheamus versus Wade Barrett in a singles match for the title headlining the pay-per-view. Then they had to put in four guys who've wrestled a million pay-per-view main events. I don't give a fuck.
You were really excited to see Sheamus and Wade.
Yeah!
That match would have blown.
I don't think so.
I do.
It probably would.
I think it would have been a very bad match.
It would have been fun to see them cutting promos on each other, at least.
The promos would have been fun. I think they had to add one guy to this.
Who gives a fuck? So put Undertaker and Kane in the main event, then. That'll probably suck, too, but who cares? Everything sucks. You know,
I did just bury them for doing Kofi and Dolph every week. It is important to do new things.
I don't want to say that Cena and Miz was a bad match, because I actually really enjoyed the match. I thought it was really good. I thought it was a good match. I thought the finish was good, in that you didn't have a finish, and that saved the finish. You can do it later on. And the Daniel Bryan thing I thought was really good. With that said, after watching Jake the Snake Roberts and Randy Macho Man Savage have a match from 1986, these fuckers have no idea how to work.
No.
Like,
zero.
Well, we'll talk about this match more on Thursday, but I don't know who it was. I don't know who it was that we were talking to this about. It was an old school guy. It may have been Larry Matisick, but he was talking about the magic in wrestling is the music between the notes, I think is the way that he termed it. You know, you can have all the moves in the world, but there's the real great workers. What is awesome is not the moves,
no,
but it's the time between the moves.
The emotion.
And it's not only that, but for example, the lockup that Randy Savage and Jake Roberts did, there's no one in wrestling in the world today that can lock up like these fuckers did. And to watch them work a match, and then all of a sudden I'm hit in the face with The Miz versus John Cena. God bless these guys. You know, per the standards of 2010, with Shawn Michaels is retired, particularly, per the standards of 2010, that was a good match, and they're pretty good workers. But when you compare them to guys that could really work in the 80s, it's sad.
They were better.
Oh, my God, it's sad. So anyway, I never should have watched Randy Savage and Jake the Snake Roberts. It's going to haunt me for like 3 years now. I'm going to be referencing that fucking match on every single show. Oh, man. Let me play a quick song here, and then we'll do some shout-outs. And we'll talk more about those matches on Thursday's show, including the When Worlds Collide match, which... I swear to God, watching it 16 years later, it was still one of the best matches I've seen all year. We'll talk about it on Thursday, but let's play this song. Remember when Terry Funk was rapping about fear?
I do.
Freethinker has taken it to a new level.
Hmm.
This Terry Funk rapping about...
But I'm not going to say it, and I'm going to spell it out to you people. I'm going to spell it out to you people. I'm going to spell it out to you people. R E A R R E A R R E A R.
Rear?
It'll shock you. The word is R E A R.
Rear?
And that's exactly what Dusty Rhodes is going to have. R E A R.
Rear.
Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Rhodes is going to have R-E-A-R. He's drugged on his own ego. Ego. Dusty Rhodes is dumb. He is ignorant. He does not show any respect. Dusty Rhodes is going to have R-E-A-R.
Somebody needs to put that on a Sesame Street video.
What in the hell was that? What?
That's the best song we played all
what
night.
What narcotics led the production of that song? And by the way, what Sesame Street have you been watching? That was not like any Sesame Street I've ever seen.
Funk Rears rap. That was great.
Oh, God.
Free thinker. Fine work this week. All right, let's do the shout-outs here. Come on, that was funny. This is from Wesley. Shout out from Wesley. Join the site after your line on Russo taking his kids to the park and then swerve, they're at the dentist. Me and some friends ran a club called Indie Bingo. Website is at indiebingo.com, IndieBingo.com. And me saying BINGO is going to lead, I'm sure, to a number of songs. Everyone should come down. It's free. Free entry, free to play. So just buy your drinks. And have some drunken bingo times.
Woo!
This is where I need a favor. It's simple. We need a drop for the start of each game. I need your voice. Can you please say this in your renowned voice? How's it going, everybody? And welcome to Indie Bingo!
It's good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Should I do one more take?
I suppose you're a professional if you want to.
How's it going, everybody? And welcome to Indie Bingo! Should I do a Tiffany version?
I think you're getting worse. Yeah, do a Tiffany version, and then do a Dixie Carter version.
How's it going, everybody? And welcome to Indie Bingo!
Not bad.
That was pretty good. My facials were the best part of that. Dixie Carter?
Mm-hmm.
How's it going, everybody? And welcome to Indie Bingo. I can't do Dixie.
It's more visual with Dixie.
I can't do Dixie. In a number of ways. You're the fucking man. Keep up the Brian and Vinny show and be nice to Vinny for fuck's sakes and your fucking nan. I presume that's my granny. Or my vagina. Sam Wesley. P.S. Tell Vinny that I love him and the torment you give him is completely proportional to my love for him. Many people have said that. All right. Let's see what else we got here. This is from Chile. First of all,
from TLC?
Thanks for making such a great place for us wrestling fans to interact. It is great, and I really enjoyed meeting you during WrestleMania week. I read your book, really liked it, and feel that I'm definitely getting my $9.99 worth, especially with the podcast. They get me through the workday. So anyway, here's my shout-out. 150 words or less. I am cashing in my shout-out. Good start.
Eight words gone.
To start, congratulations to Brian on his wedding. I wish him and his lady all the best. For those who don't know me, I am from Chile, like my username implies, and love wrestling. Just like a special individual has an unhealthy, even by Goldust standards, obsession with Cody Rhodes, I have the same going with Christian. As some people can attest, I am a person with no shame, maybe not as bad as Brent Kremen, and Christian makes me as giddy and nervous as a schoolgirl. Other than that, Dolph Ziggler and I hang out at Hooters.
He must mean Christian Slater.
Kane hates me. Beth Phoenix wants to date me. Kofi Kingston and I forge the Declaration of Independence, and I go to Walgreens wearing pajamas at 1 a.m. Well, who doesn't, actually? Please remember to check out Pro Wrestling Flashback on Wednesday, starring my good friend Sinbad. Peace! Thanks, keep up the good work. Regards, Jorge, or as it's pronounced in UFC, George, I'm sorry, Strikeforce, a.k.a. Chile.
I shouldn't be surprised that there are Walgreens in Chile.
Yeah.
But I am.
This is from Eric. I signed up literally 15 minutes ago and am cashing in on my shout-out right away. I really don't have anything of value to say, so I'm just going to make blatant requests. Vinny, please say something along the lines of, and Drew McIntyre made Teddy Long get on his knees, and Teddy Long was sad.
All right. And Drew McIntyre made Teddy Long get on his knees, and Teddy Long was sad.
Brian, please rant about IRS and Mr. Perfect's kids having retarded ring names, preferably ending with no buys. Actually, Michael McGillicuddy fucking sucks. That's no buys. Husky Harris? I have been a fan since day one of Husky Harris. Great name. P.S. I totally marked out when Daniel Bryan was revealed as the seventh member of Team WWE at SummerSlam, even though that was only one of the 11 different possibilities we were all expecting. Long live Zack Ryder, or at least his insanely catchy theme music. That's from Eric in Rhode Island. Thank you, Eric. This is from Jared. Brian, this is Jared. Just wanted to cash in my free shout-out. Been a long-time freeloader, and finally decided to stop being cheap and sign up. After only a couple of weeks, I've realized I should have signed up a long time ago, as the amount of content you have on here is, if you'll excuse the horribly dated reference, insane in the membrane.
That was from when I was in high school.
Yeah.
I was in high school a long time ago.
I also want to say congratulations on your recent wedding. Hope you don't drive your new bride too batty. Keep up the great work! I'll leave it to Impact to drive my new bride too batty. This is from Nick. Pardon me. Nick, after being a freeloader for 2 years, I finally decided to join the team and pay up, and it is one of the best decisions of my life. Never will I be a dirty moocher ever again. I want to use my shout-out to promote my own wrestling show, In the Ring. It's on Saturdays, noon to 2 Pacific, on Palomar College Radio. That's P-A-L-O-M-A-R, Palomar, P-A-L-O-M-A-R, collegeradio.com. Just two guys and a girl talking wrestling from all over the world. Warning, my other male co-host still has moments of being a total mark. It's pretty funny at times, and at times a little sad, but a good time nonetheless. Please check it out, and also our Facebook at facebook.com/InTheRing. Thanks for the great entertainment. That is from Nick. Thank you, Nick. And finally, we got one more here. A shout out for a needy soul, he says. Stu from Watford, UK. W-A-T. What? Ford. Watford, UK. Brian and Vinny, I've been a subscriber since the start of the year. I wanted to cash in my shout out just for the fleeting joy of hearing my name on your top draw show. SummerSlam this year was my 20th anniversary as a wrestling fan, so I thought it apropos to cash it in. Thumbs up to you both. The Batista likes fish sticks sign at WrestleMania, boobs, and many other things. Always a shout out to boobs.
Many other things.
Big fuck yous to TNA for so many reasons, and to my boss for just one. Anyway, thanks to the entire empire for the endless entertainment. Long may it continue. That is from Stu Collings in Watford, UK. Folks, that is it from here. If you're a freeloader, sign up immediately. Lance Storm is going to be on the show tomorrow, and he's going to be awesome. Actually, Lance Storm is going to be on the show Thursday, but he'll still be awesome. Todd Martin's on the show tomorrow. Today we had two shows. Adam
Will
Pierce.
Will Todd be awesome?
Huh?
Will Todd be awesome?
Todd's always awesome.
Making sure.
Tuesday, yesterday, we were joined by Ted the Trailer McNailer, my old nemesis, talking about OVW, Derby City Wrestling, the Mobile Homers, the Jug Band song they did, getting shaved by CM Punk, and a lot more. And also, we were joined by Adam Pierce, talking his time in Ring of Honor as Booker, and a lot of the big angles from that period, and a lot, lot more. A lot of positive feedback for those programs. And, of course, on Sunday, we were, in fact, joined for over an hour by Stone Cold Steve Austin, the biggest show in the history of this website. So sign up today, check it out. You get every new show we do, and when you sign up, it includes every show we've ever done. So if you missed the Bryan Danielson show in like 2007, all you do is go to the archives and find it. We've got thousands of hours of radio. We've got thousands and thousands of shows, and of course, 10 to 20 new shows a week. So you'll never catch up. It's just impossible. So sign up today. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you after a while.
Sayonara.